Welcome in. It is B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for B. Mitch today. We're getting JP connected here. He's still on his way back from Raleigh after a disappointing night for the Capitals. Disappointing night for DC sports fans. A disappointing night, to say the least. I don't know the last time I've been as mad as I was last night about DC sports in general. And it just piled on after pile on after pile on. So driving home last night, you know, I have on the NBA draft lottery on my phone, driving home and kind of just listening along while I'm also listening to Walton and the Caps right here on the Fan. And as you're getting set, watching the Caps game, listening to the guys and seeing how things are going, it's going okay. And then you're listening to the draft lottery and you know that the Wizards can pick, you know, one through six and so they're announcing the picks, and you're going through. You get to six, and you hear Washington. I turned the stream off. I was done. I was sold that this team was going to have a shot at getting a Ace Bailey, a Dylan Harper, a Cooper Flagg, and that all of this was going to be worth it because you're going to be back at Cap One next year caring about the Wiz. And wanted to watch this team because they were going to have a legitimate superstar. Because whatever people are saying about, oh, you don't need a superstar, that's lies in the NBA. You need a superstar. And that's what this team is missing. That's what this team has missed since John Wall left, really. And maybe you can make arguments that this team hasn't had a superstar since back in the 70s. Right? It's been quite some time since they've had someone that you felt like was transcendent and could take you to that next level. Because even growing up with the big three of Gilbert Arenas, Caron Butler, and Antoine Jameson, they weren't going to get past the true superstar in LeBron James. They weren't going to be able to get past some of these upper echelon teams. They weren't going to get past some of these really, really good players in the league. Unfortunately, this team had the opportunity once again where I think they finally did everything correct. I think that's part of the frustration for Wizards fans is they didn't have the right front office in place for so long, and they were losing, and it wasn't good, and it wasn't pretty, and it wasn't going the way that you would want. And then finally, they did stuff correctly. Or last year, they understood the assignment and did what you want a basketball team to do when they are missing some stuff, right? When they don't have exactly what you're looking for, you go try to find that. And that's through the draft generally. Because you could maybe trade for one. Maybe you could sign one in free agency. But generally in free agency, those guys aren't going to hit the market that are the true number ones. And they're definitely not going to want to sign with the Washington Wizards. And if you're going to trade for one of these superstars, they're going to come with baggage. Whether it's because they're not going to want to stay there. Whether it's because they're asking out from somewhere else. That also means you're going to have to give up a lot of assets regardless of who it is. Maybe they're a little bit older. And so the best way to get this guy is through the NBA draft. And so I thought they did a fantastic job this past season of doing it correctly, where they went out there and they said, we're going to take these young guys that we drafted last year, and Alex Saar, Bob Carrington, Keyshawn George, and they're doing everything correctly on how to go about it. And they get these young guys in the lineup. They're playing tons of minutes a night, and they're not winning ball games. And that's fine because you still want a chance at the number one overall pick. You want to get these young guys experience. And they finally get this thing played out. They're tied for the best odds, the number one pick, and they pick sixth. It's just disappointing. JP, I know you were in the building last night in Raleigh watching the Caps. That added on. The Wiz kind of started things off
Toby,
getting the sixth pick.
I am just
pick.
Full of disappointment, dude. You want to talk disappointment? Let's do it. Drove 2.5 hours in the biblical rainstorm this morning. Get here. No, we need tech support. Last night was just... I mean, the Canes just kicked their ass, and I know they deserve a lot of credit for being able to fight back late in that thing, and they never gave up, and that's who that team is, and they deserve a ton of credit for that. But to have a four-minute power play at the end of the first and just be completely ineffective, they had the early chances, good early chances, again, couldn't convert. And then when they did score late, Carolina just answered right back. The Caps are a good team. They've done a hell of a job of rebuilding on the fly while still having Ovi chase the record and eventually get it. Like, the Caps deserve a ton of credit. Carolina just might be their kryptonite. That the system they play and the speed and the little shifty guys they have. It's the Caps are in a world of trouble. And as I'm sitting in this press box in Raleigh, which credit, we hear about that barn, how loud it is. It is loud. It is big, but a lot of it's manufactured noise. Like, remember the Seahawks or the Falcons actually got in trouble for it, for mm-hmm. like pumping noise in? The volume with which they're going to music in between, like a puck goes up into the stands and there's like that, you know, 17 seconds before the face-off, they are just cranking some like kind of terrible death metal for 15 seconds of it. At one point, it was like you could tell there's a problem or a joke with the volume with which they play stuff there, because they have like the in-arena hosts that every arena and baseball stadium have. They all have these like hosts that come on and kind of hype up the crowd or like lead the, you know, the sausage race or whatever. And the dude came on and his mic was just hot. Like, they hadn't adjusted the level for where they play the music to the dude talking. And when he started talking, I was like, ah! And the whole stadium, including players on the bench, like, everybody looked up. And quickly, like, their in-house audio knew to turn it down. But, like, to me, that was a fairly telling moment of the manufactured noise down there. But as that's all happening, then we're watching the draft lottery, which just sucks. There's the whole process for the NBA draft lottery. Beyond the obvious, like, conspiracies, this thing is rigged, the Mavs trade away Luka, and no, they don't, like, what is going to happen in Milwaukee with Giannis is going to be an open bidding process. Send us your absolute best offer. We're going to figure out the best offer and make the best decision for us. Dallas did it all in secret. They did not get enough for Luka. And then they get the number one pick. And it's very easy to run with those conspiracies. But that may or may not be real. I don't know, right? But, like, what I know is the whole process, both of tanking and the lottery, is so stupid and screwed up that the Wiz, Charlotte, and Utah have the best chances to get the number one pick, and the three of them land 4, 5, 6. And there's smarter people than me, better number crunchers than me that can tell you, but like the Wiz had a better chance of 6 than they did of 1. What the hell is the point of all this? And if we're going to do this, show the actual lottery, not like the presentation of numbers. Like, imagine if we don't get to watch the horse race. You just get to watch which horse gets that blanket of roses. Like, what are we doing here? Like, do you want to have sex or do you just want to have pillow talk after? Because all they're giving us in the lottery is just pillow talk. Like, what the hell is happening? The whole process is so incredibly stupid. And obviously, it's a disappointing result for the Wizards. I'm going to turn the page here. They can get a good player at 6. Weirdly, some NBA people that I know, based on like conversations that got posted via the station's Instagram, were like, yo, I think people need to chill with Cooper Flagg as a prospect. He's really good, but this is not an Anthony Davis type prospect, which is wholly irrelevant for us now because he ain't coming here.
Yeah.
I think, you know, me, you, and Lanville are texting last night. Obviously, just a terrible, terrible night for DC sports. Just a terrible, terrible night. It's not an all-time awful night. The Caps weren't eliminated. It's not like the Wizards now don't get a pick or something. You know, like, I wasn't there, but when the Skins lost to the Raiders in the Super Bowl, I believe that would have been like January of 84. Maybe I got my dates mixed up. But, like, that was a terrible night for the city. You lost the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like,
I know just for me personally, JP, like, I think the last time I was this mad was that Thursday night game when the Skins were 2-2, Sam Howell is the quarterback, and here come the Chicago Bears who were middling, 0-4 coming into the game, and you're thinking, okay, this could be a fun way to get above 500 again. It'd been an encouraging early start with Sam Howell,
and
they just
27-3 at halftime.
Trounced. They just looked completely overmatched. I haven't been that mad about something DC sports related since then. Someone pointed out, because Danny had posted out, is this the worst DC sports night ever? Someone had put a reply under his tweet saying that May 10th of 2017, when the Wizards lost to the Boston Celtics in their series to go down 3-2, then they lost 123-101, and the Caps lost Game 7 to the Penguins 2-0. And I think maybe that could be comparable. That's two playoffs wins. And last night felt like a momentous, potentially moment for the Wizards, and that was completely quelched right away. You know, even if they would have got the second or third pick, you would have felt fine because there's, you know, a couple of transcendent kind of guys. Like, I think Dylan Harper is going to be really good, and some people are big on Ace Bailey. I'm not, but regardless, he was a really, really good prospect. And instead, they're going to get stuck with the best of the rest. I think we were having a conversation with Will Dawkins when we were over in the suite watching the game when they a couple of weeks ago, and it was like, yeah, anything inside the top five. They didn't even get top five, JP. Like, they got screwed.
Yeah, dude, and I'm not – this is what we've asked for as Wiz fans, is to tear it down and rebuild. So I've tried to just remain optimistic about things. I'm not mad at how bad they've been, but this – to fall to six, like the lowest possible pick you can fall to, is just such a gut punch. And they were, even when they hadn't started the rebuild process and they just had like the end of the Beal era, like that sucked too. It's not like there's levels of suck, but the DC Sports turnaround has felt so real, and that's driven by football, right? Like, football drives our city. And I said this on NBC4 last night, like, as I just delivered, you know, 3 minutes, 5 minutes of terrible news, I was like, hey, good news is Jaden Daniels still a Washington Commander. Like, the sports turnaround happened with the Skins and the Burgundy and Gold, and then the Caps being able to thread this needle of Ovi gets the record, but they're also good. And then the Nats, as discouraging as ownership practices are in Natstown, you do have good young pieces, and they're fun to watch, and there's something there, right, if you ever spend some money, particularly in the bullpen. But the final boss of the DC Sports turnaround is the Wiz, right? I mean, outside of the Gill years, when before he blew his knee out, they would have been a real contender in the East, I think, that year. They've had some... I mean, if you want to get fired up about, you know, John Wall taking out Toronto or whatever, that's cool, but you weren't a real contender. Like, I believe in what this Wizards group is trying to accomplish, and this was a huge step in doing it. And instead, it was, I mean, Kornheiser's famous line, which you're probably even unaware of, Toby, because you're so young, but it's the curse of Le Boulay. Like, they're still just the Bullets, dude. And sometimes it's hard to shake that feeling. And last night was an absolute slap in the face reminder of that. And I don't know, like, the search for the lowest moment, like, where is rock bottom? I think personally is always driven by football. Like, May 17th, 2017, whatever you said, like, I don't remember that date. Like, you had to look it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I remember that Bears game. I remember that clear as day. I remember when Shanahan was going nuclear on RG3 and Snyder, and Schefter had the report direct from Shanny that he cleaned out his office before the end of the season. You remember that Chiefs game, end of 2013,
oh, yeah,
where they gave up a kick return and a punt return? Like to me, the moments are always bigger. But I do think from a true, like, affecting the franchise situation, the Wiz falling to six is so much. Honestly, the Caps weren't even eliminated last night. They might come back to win this series, and we're having a different conversation. The Wiz falling to six is such a kick in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just you had opportunities that last night were not capitalized on.
Please don't
right?
equate a Nats game with what happened last night.
I'm not.
Thank you.
I'm not.
They play 190
frankly,
of them.
I had it on the TV, but it was the last of my priorities last night.
Proud of you, Toby. It's growth.
But, like, you know, the Wiz had a chance at Cooper Flag, and who knows, maybe he doesn't turn out to be a superstar, but I take my chances, right? You had a chance.
I like Harper a lot, too.
Exactly. I would have taken a chance at a franchise-altering player where, you know, this team, like you said, has been, frankly, irrelevant for so long. Cooper Flag would have put this team back on the map a little bit. I saw that Schefter had tweeted that he'd been talking to people that he could have been worth $500 to $1 billion just in terms of marketing and people being back in the building, and that would have been huge to have that back here in D.C., And then for the Capitals, it didn't end their series. Just like getting the sixth pick doesn't end the Wizards' chances of getting a good player. It hurt them a lot. But, you know, the Capitals didn't get eliminated, but they could have evened the series, and you would have felt a lot better coming back with home ice advantage again for Game 5. Instead, now you're down 3-1, and you have to hope for a miracle of a comeback. And both opportunities were squelched in a very disappointing fashion where, you know, losing the – if they would have got the fourth pick, it would have still been disappointing, but you could have lived with it. The Capitals, if they would have put up a better effort, where you have 4 minutes on the power play and you barely mustered a shot.
It was so awful.
It was just so bad. And when they finally get back in it, JP, you feel like they're finally getting some momentum, and you're, okay, maybe they're right there again. You have Hall end up wide open that one-on-one, 99 out of 100 dudes score on that chance. It was so disappointing.
Carberry
just all
afterwards
around.
Got asked about that and was just pretty despondent by it, frankly. He was just like, he's like, yeah, you know, our guys, our defensemen lost them. And it's just like, this is the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, how is that happening? And, there's been problems throughout the series. I do think on some level you kind of got to give Carolina some real credit, and at times we're like slow to do that. But dude, I mean, obviously the biggest news of the night, the biggest news is the Wiz going from 1-6 or just falling to 6. It's not like they had one. But I mean, what an absolute joke. And I don't think they're going to do anything, frankly. But I know that it sucks. I know that the NBA regular season, 70% of it is a pretty unwatchable product. And the tanking, and I was listening to a Brian Windhorst interview yesterday in my interminable driving over the last 3 days. We'll get to just how much my life has sucked for the last 36 hours, but that's a different topic. The structure of the NBA, so the players' union resisted a salary cap. They said, no way, man. We're not taking a salary cap. So you know what the owners did? They put in like a zillion little rules and loopholes and the luxury tax and all these things that it basically acts as a salary cap. And it is really, really prohibitive to try to rebuild. The only way to rebuild is now called tanking, because you just have to tear everything down to the studs and try to start over and get right with some picks. And it's pretty damn hard to do. But to me, it's also not a secret. Like, it's been reported for some time now, and lots of, I mean, hell, B. Mitch, who's probably on his way to Seattle right now, leaving one rainy city for another, has been saying this for months. Like, the Commanders locking in the Madrid game. Right now, officially, we know 2 games for Washington. And, like, if there's some nerd out there that wants to yell at me for talking a little football today, I don't care about you. Knowing that the Commanders are, so far, they've announced 2 games. They're both national audiences, right? Like, you've got the Saturday game against the Eagles. Now you've got this Madrid game. It just, that scene shifting so much. I was with guys last night after the Caps game, people that know things, right? And they were like, man, thank God for Jaden. And I was like, at least when told me that May 17th, 2017 thing you brought up, right? Like, there have been a lot of bad nights to be a DC sports fan. Like, this is not novel. But when, I mean, honestly, probably in your lifetime, has there ever been a response like, at least we got football, dude.
Exactly
right. At least we know football's coming.
I saw our guy Ben Strober here, and he was wearing Commander's gear, and I purposely wore my Hail Jaden t-shirt, if you're looking on the YouTube stream, because that's the dude that gives you hope now, right? When was the last time that DC had all this crap happen one night, and then you go, but at least we've got our quarterback? Like, you've never said that as a fan of my lifetime. You've never gone, well, at least we've got the quarterback and you feel good. And, you know, looking at, I know Sheehan does his mock schedule and was talking about that. He's got like 6 or 7 primetime games. Like, this team is must watch. They're sending them to Spain. First time ever they're playing a game in Spain, and they're sending Washington over there. It just shows you how different a time it is. And, you know, it feels like things were on the up and up with this city, like you said, because a lot of it is football driven. And I think ultimately when we get past this in a couple of weeks, it'll be whatever, because we'll start looking ahead to football season and you've got Jaden. But it's just so disappointing that all this stuff had to happen. But then again, you wake up in the morning and you know you've still got JD5 here in D.C. and it's like, well, maybe it's still okay.
Last night sucked. No way around it. It sucked. Period. Caps still have a chance. I mean, the Wiz once got the number one pick and took Kwame Brown. So it's not like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The Republic will stand.